Yeah.
But it's interesting. Speaking about that, then, what do you guys think about the Cambridge Analytica, mate? What's your topical opinion?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's not the only company doing it. Guaranteed, but I do think it is like shocking some of the stuff, the way that's, but then again I kind of think that's just the way that world is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
the nature of the beast. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you mean like we're not going to admit it till we've got found out, sort of shit.
Yeah,
even if it's wrong. But do you think the way they've done it's wrong, or do you think just general mining people is bad? Do you get what I mean?
Well, it's wrong because it's unethical. It's breaking laws.
Yeah.
It's going against laws, and it's not a fair way of doing it. But then again, in politics, kind of, it is tit for tat. So is anything fair?
Nothing's fair.
That is true. You know, Hillary, you know, you were saying earlier, she probably does have like, her own little Cambridge Analytica somewhere.
She definitely has it somewhere within. Well, they all go Panama and all countries like that. Countries with you can't be traced back to.
Yeah.
Gibraltar.
Well, it's just like London and England for Russia. That's what we are like.
Yeah.
London to the Russians is their safe haven. That's where they steal their money.
Yeah. Invest it.
And we've allowed it.
It's kind of crazy. Hillary's. She's had people killed, right? Look, and she's had anyone killed for dumb reasons though. Like she's been like a petrol station.
So it's
pissed you off a little
questions.
Bit. She's like, so fucking killed.
We'll never know. Now, I think I don't know the ins and outs of it, but there's a lot of stuff online about like certain people that died.
Yeah, because of shit.
Yeah.
Like in the Russians now.
Yeah, but there is, like what you said, things online, but there is soldiers and other stuff that have died at a direct consequence of her actions. Like she said something and it led down the road to people dying. No, like, I can't remember what it was, but she sent people somewhere and they all died on this mission and it was a direct
result. Blood on the hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got, like, Putin who quite clearly has people killed.
Yeah.
Yes.
He don't give a fuck.
True.
He's like, I think he's happy, man. He's happy with it. He's like, yeah, fuck it. I get people killed. Don't at me, bro. I'll kill you.
But what he's saying is, he's more just saying that, like, look a little bit closer to home before you start pointing fingers at me.
Mm.
Just like what we were saying about that Cambridge Analytica. Like, you look at any of them, Theresa May, like, she's probably had people killed and everything like that. Like, you can't, we only assume Putin as the bad one because the media tells us he's the bad one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Every other politician
I think there's a lot
boat.
More like shit we'll never know. I have to say, I do think that is just the nature of it.
Yeah. I like that about Corbyn though. He said that with the whole Russian thing and, you know, the killing in Salisbury, he was like, hold on a minute, maybe the chemical did come from the Russian government. Like, they produced it, but doesn't mean it came from them. And I was like, fair enough. There is a possibility that maybe it wasn't the government, it's just the chemical was from them and it was like an alt-right group or something like that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but you've got to look at who he was.
Yeah.
Just a coincidence. He was a direct whistleblower.
And
an ex-Russian that he pissed him off and he was in the UK because he'd run away from them. But and another guy died similar the other day.
Oh, he
got strangled.
But now they've got like half, like they've got so many people in like protection.
Yeah.
You know, even in like, you know, it's like if your mum snaked on the Russians, like, you know, you're in protection for that. Like, it's crazy. How many people?
England has had, I mean, like, Theresa May hasn't got a lot to say on, because the problem is we get so much energy and resources from Russia. I think they're one of our biggest suppliers of actual energy in terms of electricity and stuff like that. And power is from Russia. So we can't chat shit too much because it will offend them. We also can't talk too much because the amount of money that Russians bring into the capital in terms of property, investments, you know, like clubs, all that sort of stuff. Dirty money, but yet still money. It doesn't. Dirty money, still money. It still makes the clock turn.
Think of how many like flats there are, Shane, man, in London. Like, you know, you've been central, and there's just like flats. Like, no one lives there.
Doesn't matter if no one lives there. The fact is that they are still bringing revenue in. The job to build those flats has created what, at least 2,000 to 3,000 jobs to build that block of flats along the lines. Without those Russians, those 2,000 to 3,000 jobs wouldn't have been there. Whether or not they're sitting empty.
I think they know, though, that is going to... It's not... They're not doing it.
Oh, it's a bubble. Yes, it's a bubble.
It's an investment, isn't it? You know, like...
Surely everything is.
And I'm waiting for that bubble to crash and going to cash in. Cash in on those cheap London flats. And wait 50 years and bubble out.
I want to know how that works, man.
Well, bubbles. Or,
like, the market's obviously going to come back down. Yeah. But, like, my one of my favourite films is The Big Short.
Yeah, so yeah. good.
Yeah.
Such a good film.
Such a good film. I think it's based on, like, just it's based on everyone's affordability, isn't it? Something mm-hmm. like that in the actual
like wages,
bubble.
Wages, yeah.
You know,
everything goes up. But yeah. everything comes down. If wages go down, everything's forced down because
yeah.
people don't buy something.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which drives the price
just
down.
Just a big circle, yeah.
Because that's what the American model is. Like, strippers could buy, like, 5 houses, even though they couldn't afford
to pay it back. But that
was
the way that they were, yeah, but that's the way their mortgage thing was set up.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's
itself,
yeah.
yeah.
It's, yeah, because the prices, the inflation is always increasing, but it will get to a point where the price will increase so much that we can't afford it, therefore it stops sales,
yeah.
which then means that the price of production, and then that's the way that bubble bursts,
yeah.
is when we can't afford to pay for those necessities, and that's when it slows
have
it
you,
down.
I mean, it's going to happen again. I mean, have you seen the mortgage rates now? Are so low. I think they're like 1 or 2%.
Yeah.
Like, our student loan's like 6.
Again, it's to do with money. It's to make quick money. People don't want to look into the bigger picture and think, oh yeah, this and that. The banks are like, let's make this money now and fast.
Yeah.
That's the only way they see it.
Yeah.
But who buys those houses when the bubble bursts? Do you know what I mean? The banks?
The Russians, Arabs and all the stuff that, ones that have money which is not affected by our stocks, they buy them up.
Yeah.
You'll notice that every time there's a crash, you'll get foreign investors which will buy up loads of land. That's how Canary Wharf and all that was started.
Yeah.
It was that there was empty land and someone bought out and renovated it.
Yeah.
You'll have
yeah,
the exact
like
same
wealth
thing
in
here.
That
yeah.
square mile is ridiculous.
Oh yeah. I mean, someone's got to make money off a crash, right? I mean, The Big Short, you know, they made money
yeah,
off
exactly.
it. Like, people got to make money off it. That's how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to have the money. The money.
Yeah, no, it is a funny one. I think it's just like, as a young person looking to get on the property ladder, it's almost like
there is no ladder.
Yeah. It's ridiculous
property
now.
Cliff.
Which means I think it can only get better because it's so bad now.
Yeah, but for it to get better, what's got to get worse?
Yeah, it's got to
true.
Get worse. That's
when when something goes up, something comes
yeah.
down. But if we want something to come down, something else has also got to go up.
That's why my parents are cashing out. My parents are moving out of London. They're cashing out, man. They're going like, getting like no mortgage, much bigger house in my house outside of London, like, you know, only like an hour away, but you end up having no mortgage,
yeah.
much bigger house,
and
then you're set.
With
know?
Like the influence of Crossrail, and the old Elizabeth line, as they call it, what's that going to do to things?
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's little things like that, like you said, and that goes all the way out to Reading.
Yeah.
Obviously, the mortgages and that are a lot lower, the houses are a lot bigger
yeah.
for the price, but then it's only 20 to 30 minutes into central
There's
London.
Bits of, so, obviously, where that rail was planned, my cousin works for an architecture firm, and that firm was buying up land before even, but when the first plans got released, just on the off chance it got okay,
really
buying up land on the rail line,
shit, and
because it paid off,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They saw the plans for it, then it got approved. They'd already bought the land, so they already own the land
yeah.
on. So if you can almost build a new village,
yeah,
and the house prices are through the roof because yeah. you've got that commute.
To be fair, like, even if you bought land where the rail's gonna be,
it's
not bad because you get above market price usually.
It's bad though because where you have land where the rail wants to be, they push you out.
Yeah.
Because I, with my dad especially working, because it goes through sort of his area of where his yard is, and if your land was where the rail wants to be, you got pushed out. Whether or not you 100% own that bit of land, the government put
taxes like they make,
in
yeah.
Thing, yeah.
It's not like they're like, right, we're gonna pay you off a large sum of money, so you like, it's too good to
no.
turn down.
All they do is make it hard for you to live in that place so that you want to get rid of it for the cheapest.
Mm.
And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, it's a cruel, like, vicious cycle.
Sad world we live in. Crappy world. And then our fucking 50 grand designer fees. Oh, we're going to be rich.
Yeah.
We're going to be for big money salaries, lads. You know it is.
That's what I mean. You've got, what, 60 grand debt leaving uni. Then the minute you put a down deposit on a house, that's another 300-400 grand.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not physical. But it's a way of government controlling you. You think you're always in debt to the government.
Yeah.
You are always being controlled by the government.
It's almost not even debt, though, because everyone's in it and you're...
Yeah,
you're like in a set way. Do you know
that
what I mean?
That just shows you the problem. Then that's what I mean. Like, people don't see debt as a debt anymore.
Oh yeah, but I mean, if everyone's got debt, is it a debt? You know, like, is it?
True.
But then again, if when it crashes,
it's like if everyone was rich, no one would be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if we were all millionaires, the billionaires would be the rich ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, billionaires are rich now.
I mean, yeah, billionaires are like stupidly rich.
Fucking dumb thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, billionaires, they can do anything they want, man. They could buy Bournemouth. Imagine if a billionaire just bought Bournemouth, like just some Arab, just like guy.
See, Bill Gates is only leaving his kids like 10 mil.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wait, wait, what he's done is right. He's like, I don't want my kids to be snobs. He was like, I will give them anything they need to make or do anything they want. Yeah, so any business or anything like
but
that.
But they're
going
to be snobs if you leave them 10 mil anyway.
Yeah, 10 mil's enough.
True, that isn't like a that's a popular
if you're
going
to leave them 10 mil, leave them billions. Like, it makes no
difference.
He just
wants them to invest that 10 mil and turn it into
more
billions.
I reckon he's just, it's one of them things like, they're like, well, we're not going to be left any money. Yeah. Then he dies, they open it like, oh, fuck.
10 mil.
20 bill, thanks. Like, do you know what I mean? They're never good. They're always going
to
be set.
He has already given away 90% to his foundation, which is very good to build.
He's given
Gates
over 100 billion away in his lifetime.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
He can't give away.
Well, he funds. So basically, he funds a lot of research. I can't remember what vaccines, but he has found cures and like helps a lot of medicine. A lot
is
of
it
vaccines.
Malaria or something?
It's never enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are always going to question it.
Yeah.
But like, with Bill Gates though, like, he can't give his money away fast enough. You know, he gives it away, he earns it back, like straight away in stock.
He's not the richest man no more anyways.
No,
Bezos is ahead
Amazon,
and he's gonna carry on getting ahead.
Jeffy wants it.
But then you've got to think of this as well, like a lot of people are saying the effects of Amazon is not yet known to the economy of the world.
Yeah.
If you think we're buying everything online at a click of a finger, that's destroying high streets.
Yeah.
You think you can get everything now from even fresh food from Amazon?
That's
what's that
going
to do to high streets and jobs? No, but to jobs, because that's all automated. Because you can automate a factory within a click of
a
fingers.
I think the argument for that is, I think it's good because basically governments, what they have to do, they've got to invest in these jobs, which are basically like our jobs, and you know, like engineers, artists. They're like more creative jobs. And also there's always, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard, there's all this chatter about a basic income.
Yeah.
You know, like, so everyone just gets like 10 grand flat and then you do whatever you kind of want on top of that to kind of live. And that's, I think, hopefully where it's going, because
economy,
you don't want to have, you know, but no one wants to have a job anymore. I mean, a career, maybe. No one wants to have to do anything anymore. And I think before, our parents, you know, they've had jobs where they've been like, I don't really want to do this, but I've got to do it.
Yeah.
Because
the concept of life is changing how we live it.
Yeah, sure.
We are much more about living life rather than sort of...
But I think that's us, though, small circle.
Isn't it? I think it's just generational, because if you look at also cars now, the sales in cars is going down because we are going into a generation of sharing. The fact that we don't need cars, we don't want cars, we don't even want houses anymore, because we understand that they're stuff we don't want to be tied
they're
down.
Negative.
So sharing is actually on the rise. So you'll see a lot of cars right now are actually putting millions and millions into the internet sort of brain of car sharing in terms of anonymous on how can we get at the leader. So what they're going to try and do is basically become finance companies. Same with, in the future, probably housing letters.
People as well are like, people have more goals and stuff now because they're open, they see more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you go on Instagram, you see, and you go, oh, I want to go there. I've got...
Yeah.
But then again, that drive is another question. Like, do people have that drive?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are happy working like a desk job and living on weekends. That's just the way of the life.
Yeah.
I think we're quite unique that we don't want to do that.
I don't know. Though. I mean, I hope it's changing. Though. I mean, the stuff you're talking about, it's like this doc about the kind of fifth revolution. Or
third
the fourth
revolution.
Industrial.
The third,
yeah,
third
the third industrial,
industrial
revolution. That video on Vice. And it's just like, it just makes so much sense to me, whether it will happen.
Yeah.
It's
you need three things. You need power, the transportation of that power, and the transportation of people to work that power.
Yeah.
As well, and I can't remember the other thing, but you need three things to sort of, oh, you need news as well, communication to get to spread that power.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first one was in the UK, and you had letterpress. That's what created the communication because you were able to print newspapers in the millions for dirt cheap. Then you had steam power, which you put on rails. So you had the steam power to power machines and factories, newspapers to get out the jobs and the news about the factories, and then the steam trains then to remove the, you know, the products and that produced. And then the second one was, I believe, started in 1905. So you had the telephone, you had TV, which came in later, but telephone, TV, the automobile, which came in America, it happened in America as well, and coal and oil.
Yeah.
That they were the next three things. So you have cheap oil, cheap coal, cars, and telephone.
Yeah.
this next one is completely internet based.
Because when you use them, you drive the price down.
Ours is so. Yeah. Ours is not just though. Ours is. I mean, I guess theirs is social as well, but ours is such big social change.
Yeah, we're the biggest.
We're going through the third revolution
right now, man.
It's because we are still living in a infrastructure that is designed around 1920s and 1930s. Yeah, infrastructure.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
But it is, and that's when I get excited when I see Tesla superchargers, because that is the start of a third revolution.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem, most people won't realise that, but you got to understand that Tesla supercharger is connected to the internet. The internet is a form of communication.
Oh, yeah.
It's the biggest reach.
Yes,
the
renewable
It's the
energy.
Biggest network ever.
Yeah.
And I think as well, what you're starting to see, which is great as like a kind of economy shift, is companies knowing that to sell stuff now they have to be socially good and be, you know, kind of eco-friendly. And
I still think that's so much smaller though.
I think
10%, 5% of companies.
But these sort of things...
They want to look. Quickly. They don't want to be. They want to look.
But I think as...
More.
Greenwashing.
But I think as we get older and think, well, hang on a minute, I don't want to go for your company. I mean, because there's a way better one over here that does way better. It's like Bulb in London. They're... you know, they only do renewable energy for electrics.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, now they have become cheaper than other companies.
Yeah.
But, so why are you not going to go for them? You know, they're doing socially good and, you know, it's slightly cheaper. It's like, why not? I mean, even if they're more expensive, I personally would go for them.
Yeah, but I also think you feel quite strongly about it.
It is.
The majority of people don't care.
But I think
they don't care to the point until it comes cheaper. That's when they start caring. Yeah. And we're on the point where, like you said, renewable energy is becoming cheaper.
Mm,
and
way cheaper.
Big companies like E.ON and stuff like that know that they are in some ways on a time scale of becoming extinct, because when we're just going to slowly stop using fossil fuels. And because of, if you look at the new Tesla sort of infrastructure as well, is everyone's going to be their own power plant. If you have your own solar power on your roof into a battery charger, what is going to happen soon if it's happening in Australia right now, I think they've already fitted 20,000
each year they're doing another
25,000. And what it is, if you've got a town with 25,000 houses, all have solar panels and a battery charger, that's a power plant. 25,000 solar panels.
We have solar panels in our house at home, but we don't use the power they make.
Yes, no, it works.
You don't use it at your own house, you sell it back to the grid.
That's exactly what's going to happen. What it is if everyone is fitted with a solar power and a battery, they use, or in the future, they're going to use from that battery, and whatever they don't use, they sell back to the...
No, but have you heard as well, have you talked about kind of the idea of using Bitcoin? So you don't even sell it back to the government, you sell it to your neighbour. You sell it to
whoever needs it, because with the internet, everyone's connected to a grid where you don't need anything. Is just whoever needs it gets it, and whoever doesn't need it. So, for example, if you're not using the power, it leaves your house, goes like you said to your next door neighbor.
That's the beauty of Bitcoin, and it only really clicked with me the other day with the analogy of Bitcoin is like, you know, if you take a taxi driver on Uber, and he's driving you around, he works for Uber. Bitcoin's like just removing Uber from the equation. You know, you just authenticate between yourselves. You're removing the middleman. And it's like, that's crazy, because you've got this like decentralized, you know, kind of any type of cryptocurrency, you know, Bitcoin, take for an example. So like Shane and I, we don't need a bank anymore. I can just be like, here's Shane, here's your 10 quid and it's been authenticated. And you're like, oh, great, I've got it. I'll give you like a massage or something. Yeah. You know, like a service in return, which is crazy. And I think banks are already like accepting it. You know, like they're looking into Bitcoin or cryptocurrency technology.
I don't think that's the future, though.
No, because governments physically won't let it be the future. Because that would be the demise of the government.
No,
unless
the
they can control it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So if you made a law, every new build had to have solar panels on, then the person buying the house doesn't necessarily own the solar panels. If they're selling it back to them. The reason why there's a barrier of entry now is that I've got to shell out $5,000 of my own money, put them on my house, and then I'll sell it back to you until I make that $5,000 back. Then I'm in a profit. It's my investment.
Yeah.
If it's the government's investment, they're making the money on it, not you.
I don't know. I'm looking into the future, though, man.
Tesla's done in Australia. Yeah. Tesla said, we'll pay for it. We'll do everything. We'll put it on your house for free for anything, but it's ours.
Yeah.
So everything we make goes to us. And then most people are saying, yeah, that's fine, because I'm getting cheaper electricity from it and it's on my roof, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It benefits everyone.
But then again, obviously, there's only so much they can do because we don't get that much sun.
Oh, yeah. We have wind energy offshore.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
And it's south-facing houses.
The sheer percentage of what we need to harness, if we were able, we can, like, if we put our money into it, we can flick the switch and change renewable energy tomorrow if we wanted to. We have the money, we have the resources to do it. You only need 0.1% of wave power or tidal power. You only need something like 2% of the sun's energy. Yeah. You only need something like 1% of something else.
Someone should figure out how to harness, you know, bottled down emotions, because Britain could run on that for like centuries, I think. You know, like moaning and groaning. Depression, you know, these things, they'd be like unlimited power source right there. But there's fission as well, fission energy, which is maybe a bit far into the future, but you know, that's like the idea of, it's not fusion, but fission's like, you know, you're putting less energy than you get out, basically.
Yeah.
Which technically kind of impossible, but it's not actually. So what you get there is an unlimited clean energy source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The only tricky thing with that, they've got containing it and keeping it basically going, because they can't do it.
I don't think we'll see big change until we have to. Do you know what I mean? Although people are like, yeah, it's bad for the environment. Until we're fully running out of stuff, I think that's when it kicks in.
Yeah.
When it's down to like the next 50 years rather than the next 200 years.
There's this graph that I don't know if you guys have seen. I really forget the name of it. It is the idea of we only revolutionise and when we have to.
Yeah.
So the Industrial Revolution as well, oh shit, we kind of run out of space and people. So what do? You know, we make carts and machines that can do everything for us and produce iron. And we're getting to that point now of like that singular...
It's the same as war. It's like we need to be pushed to push.
Yeah.
Is this anything? It's just like us with our work.
Yeah.
We don't do enough unless we're pushed. Or unless it gets to that deadline. That's when we bang out a lot of work. As humans, we don't want to do it.
It's so mad, isn't it? Like, as a generation, in our genetics, like, we're actually lazy. We're just, like, really lazy.
That's survival, though, isn't it? You know, like, you survive until you can't any longer.
There's no prep. But
that third revolution thing, the guy I was talking about, he is a leading scientist on it. He's the guy that came up with the concept.
He came up with the concept.
When Angela Merkel came into power, the first person she spoke to was him.
And the Chinese government are at him as well. Yeah, like, they read his book.
Because the way he's talking is right. China and Germany said that they want to be centre of the third revolution. Because obviously, if you are what made America the superpower? Because they were the prime starter. What made England the superpower? Because they were the prime starter of the revolution.
Honestly, as well, though, that talk, as captivating it is, it's really beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It's him talking. He's got this group of, like, I guess, PhD students and MA students. And just like, shit.
How much do you think that affect how captivating it was?
I think fairly. I mean, the guy's pretty...
It was in, like, an aircraft carrier or something. Yeah. It was, like, an empty aircraft carrier, just all greyed out. Cool. It was very nicely filmed. Yeah. But he said that it's either our kids or our children's kids. So by the end of this century, right, in the next 30 years, we're going to lose 50% of all animal life.
Yeah.
50% of the next 30 years. Which is
the lion map.
He said that scientists have actually... mistaken how much global warming is actually happening.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to go this much by this time. It's actually increased up by 40%. So the ratio of things warming and the actual problems has gone up by 40% than what scientists has ever thought.
Yeah. It's called Jeremy Rifkin.
Natural disaster. You've already seen it now. It's snowing and now it's sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Natural disasters by the end of this century are going to become commonplace around the world.
Yeah. But that's why the UK is almost better off, because, you know, we're, you know, in the global
quite safe.
States,
yeah, we're away from everything.
Safe with everything. That's why we did so well, though, initially. You know, like, when everyone was having fucking tornadoes in, like, the 17th century, 16th century, we were just chilling. We had some floods, you know? It wasn't that bad. It killed off a few people, but, like, not enough to stave off progress. But in America... Couldn't fucking Australia, man. What the fuck? Who's gonna live there, man? Like, you got like sandstorms.
I suppose, like, yeah. Then you go against it as well. Like, stuff's done, so that doesn't happen. It's like the biggest killer was disease.
Yeah.
Like, we're not having generations wiped out by the plague. Now,
yeah.
Are we? We're not losing millions of people. Like, so that's another thing that's keeping a lot of people here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And general knowledge.
Yeah, but you know not
more. Infections, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of spooky.
Antibiotics
kind of fucks ATM, but...
Surgeons in Victorian times used to keep their aprons bloody because it used to show how professional they were. Because it used to show how experienced they were at cutting people off.
I kind of wonder, like,
so they used to keep a bloody apron because it used to show that he is an experienced doctor. But yeah, it was so... They didn't understand when the first person to come up with, you need to wash your hands,
yeah,
he or she was put in jail. For
that's
coming
fast.
Up with such a stupid idea.
you wonder how anyone fucking survived, right?
Everything in life is trial and error.
You wonder how anyone was like actually got up from that. It's like, I'm fine, man. I haven't got any infections.
It's like the mold thing, innit? They were like, where are these bugs coming from? It wasn't until they were like, something must be climbing in and eating it. It's like, oh no, once we sealed it, we realised that it was actually coming from that.
Yeah.
That's where like it was breeding with itself.
But stuff like we still don't understand. Like, what's that shit they used to put in buildings?
Asbestos,
man. Yeah. And they didn't know for like 30 years because it just didn't kill anyone, which I think is kind of going to be like plastic bottles. Like, we're not going to figure that out for like another 40 years.
A lot of the stuff we have is new.
Yeah.
Everything in this room, if you look around now, probably didn't exist 100 years ago in terms of the actual compound of what it was made of.
Oh, no. Nothing.
Yeah, I suppose. And it might have existed in a certain way, but change is that innovation thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Everything changes at such a rapid rate.
Everything's always been there since the start of mankind. And
yeah, I mean, even that.
And it's also like in that third revolution thing, which also blew my mind. He said, we've only been on, the Earth is what, 45 billion years old.
Yeah.
We're only 200,000 years old. What makes us think that we have any right to be on this Earth or any reason to be
on this
Earth?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, we always talk about like civil war in America being like, when you think about war and stuff like that being like chaos. Like,
yeah.
We were doing that. That's like three people from us. So like your granddad's dad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it is. Yeah. People are still alive.
People are still talking about this, we're so insignificant.
Mm-hmm. This morning I was just looking at the problems in China, Ukraine, and that, and the biggest problems right now is Syria, China, North Korea, and Ukraine. In terms of the most civil unrest, are those three places?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the most cause of war are going to be those three places. Mm. Basically, China is probably going to cause the next big war.
Like a civil war, do you think? Like a world war?
No, a world war.
Really?
Because China already is raising their power to massive levels. Like I said, they want to be part of that third revolution. They want to be the key things.
Yeah.
They've already taken over loads of islands from Japan and turned them into military bases.
Oh, yeah.
They're already imposing on Japan so many threats and that in terms of, you know, just pushing them about. Same with America.
Do you think they'd win, though? Do you think they'd win?
I believe China would win.
Against, like, what, everyone else? I mean, who do you think China would...
It'd be against America. If China starts in Japan, Japan's got an allied pact with America. If America goes in, obviously, the Western world goes in.
China,
but then
you've
got to think China is obviously going to be backed by Russia because they've both got the similar views in terms of the old sort of communist past, in terms of work hard, patriotic, respect your country. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Power to that country. In Western world, it's not like that anymore. It's not about working hard. It's not about patriotism. It's about... I'd say it's more to do with like just yourself, who's got your lifestyle now. It's not about money. I don't think it's about money. I feel like we're brought up now. I don't think we have that many money problems in terms of we're not worried about money.
No.
We'd like to make it, but we're not worried whether or not we do.
Oh, no. I mean, I think we've got such different views on what the value of money is and like what poor means. You know, like, we're not poor, but maybe as stupid as you are.
Yeah.
You know, my dad had like milk on a cereal, and you know, that's pretty poor. Getting your bike sold for coal, that's pretty poor. I mean, I can't be wrong. I mean, my mum's never sold my bike off for, you know, some more electricity
I know what you mean. I suppose it is hard to, it's so hard to be put in someone's shoes if you've never actually done it yourself. It's one thing, like, we all watch this stuff like Comic Relief and that, and you're like, oh, that looks bad, but like, you're not like invested in it, like, god, that must be so bad. It's a funny, it's a strange one.
It is a hard one. And what do? You go and try that life?
Well, you can never do enough, can you?
I mean, who was that author?
It's like, oh, I'm going to donate £100,000. It's like, how much do I earn a year? Like, oh, I earn $1 million a year. It's like, well, you could do two. It's like, I could do $1 million a year and just...
No one can do enough.
Yeah, there's never going to be enough.
Who's that guy? He's the author.
Of what?
What's his name? The time traveller... The Time Machine, who's that? Like H.G. Wells.
Oh, yeah, H.G. Wells, yeah. That's a very good film. The old one and the new one. The old one's good as well.
But he was really rich, but he, like, spent, I think it's H.G. Wells, he spent, like, a year in the slums and got, like, all of his stories.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah,
that.
I
remember.
Yeah, reading about it. Yeah, he did. For one, it wasn't for The Time Traveller, but it was for another book he was writing.
Yeah.
And he actually, he lived for a long period of time in the slums, and he actually made friends with them and everything, and just basically got a better understanding of how they became like that.
Yeah. Is that what Theresa May needs to do? Like, politicians? Like, go sort it out with... Terry from Croydon?
How do you gain that different perspective?
Yeah.
There's an American comedian called Ari Shafir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he, like, will do stand-up comedy for, like, 3 months in a year, then just disappear. He'll go traveling or something, and he won't take a phone. He'll just take a backpack.
Really?
And he'll go by himself as well. Yeah, you point blank won't be able to get in touch with him
unless
for months, unless you come like bump into him on the beach in Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, he does it yearly. He's out, yeah. And then he comes back, makes more money, and then he disappears again.
But that's Jim Carrey now. That's what he's literally just like Jim Carrey's. Just like, do you know what Jim Carrey done for his first major paycheck? Put it in his dad's coffin and buried it.
Oh yeah,
so really? Literally like his first paycheck, he got 10 million from The Mask. His dad died 3 weeks after the release of The Mask. So that 10 million check, he put it in his dad's blazer pocket and buried his dad with it.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, even from day one, was like, it's not about the money, do you know what I mean?
He had a crazy year then, though. Like, he had Ace Ventura.
He was the biggest pay. It was the biggest actor then that year.
He's such G, man. I've been watching.
He releases paintings now, isn't
it? Yeah. His paintings are quite good, though. Yeah. They're quite expressive, very nice. His studio for painting as well is very nice.
Really
yeah.
Cool.
Beautiful. I've been watching a lot of, like, all the kids' films we used to watch. I've been watching a lot of Nicolas Cage, mate. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Oh, National Treasure.
National Treasure used to be my favourite film.
Such a classic. And now you watch it back, though, and I'm like, oh, it's still pretty fucking sick, but, like, so good. I watched it with Alice. And Sean Bean's in it, you know, the guy from Game of Thrones, All the Rings.
Yeah.
And Alice, I don't think he's ever seen him. And he's got that weird English accent, like, he's with just Americans, it sounds fake. Alice, like, she turns to me, she's like, this guy's got the worst fucking English accent I've ever heard in my life. And I'm like, he's literally, he's from the UK, mate. Like, he lives
here. But they ask you, like, that's why they love James Corden over there, because James Corden's got that typical British accent. Yeah. Like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
He's, like, he's got that sort of London-y Essex accent, and he's a typical sort of what they class as English, do you know what I mean?
And then Americans just think that we all sound the same.
It's like,
don't we do the same with American?
True.
Don't we do the same as every other country?
Well, no, we know, like, New York.
Because it's English,
stuff.
But... Like, if you look at someone just like Spain or China, you think they all sound the same.
That's true.
They've all got the exact same look, the exact same sort of thing, but like, you don't realise that, like, there's different languages. You've got Catalonian, you've got all this and that. It's the exact same in England and in America. They're just naive. They just don't know.
Yeah, I suppose, I think we definitely know, like, we all know a New York accent sounds different to, like a,
I don't know, like a Boston
or like a LA.
I think England, though, has more accents than a lot of other places. And slang, I would say.
I think
in the UK is massive.
As a country, we've
like France.
Hated so much.
Yeah.
So we've just got...
Slang is very prevalent as well, but that's the same in America. But
it's so prevalent.
Slang everywhere.
But that's because of the rise of the
working
class.
It's so prevalent here, though. In France, they don't really have slang. Like, a lot of French slang.
Mm. I think, again, it's dependent on how well the education system is.
But we're also... everywhere speaks English, do you know what I mean? Like, in France,
we're
like,
influenced
by
a lot more.
They probably speak more English slang than they do French slang.
Yeah, because you've got to understand, if a word becomes popular in America, it can become popular here. It's become popular in any other country. Becomes popular here. If you go to Jamaica, they're still speaking English, but yet it's such a different form of English that we can't understand it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's broken English. That's in some ways slang. It's a variation of the English language that's changed.
But that's why UK, I think, has so much slang as well. Is like, we've had so many cultures. So many invasions, but so many cultures just come in, like Jamaican, like, words have just come into English culture.
Yeah.
You know, like, just so many words. You're like, that isn't English, but you use it so much.
It's like an immigration thing, isn't it? Like, a lot of stuff gets through when you bring
the accent
people in.
Changes, I think, was it two generations? There's a complete overhaul of accent anywhere in the world. If you look back at 1940s tapes of British people speaking, it's
different.
Like, oh, hello, how are we?
Oh,
it's
today.
And it's like, we don't sound like that, but it's not very long.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my granddad's from Essex and he does not sound like a Towie star.
Yeah, exactly. That just shows you, within two generations, the difference of language.
Yeah.
What will our kids speak like? Do you know what I mean? Because it'll be complete, or our kids' kids will speak like, it'll be completely different.
My kid sounds like an idiot, I'll slap him up.
Well, it's just everything's completely changed, you know, generation wise. It would be, you'd never be allowed to walk out in the road 50 years ago wearing denim jeans. They're just considered workwear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Hard wearing.
Yeah, hard wearing workwear. You wear trousers.
They're for a function.
Yeah.
To be fair, I wish that was the same, man. I fucking love trousers, man. Like, I was looking at like 1920s clothes the other day, like 60s, and I was like, this is kind of lit.
I quite like 30s, in fairness. Like, 30s was very nice. Like, high class 30s was
50s
really nice.
For me. 50s, the space age, that first sort of American, again, when American became a superpower, their cars, you know, their sort of freedom of living, that typical American
family,
I love.
Yeah, typical perfect family lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is cool. I do like that stuff. And then obviously we've talked about this before, but obviously it all comes back around. It all comes back around again. It all comes back
around, yeah, and changes.
Definitely. We've rattled through
some pretty hard-hitting
quite a few different topics. This was with no agenda either, wasn't
it? Yeah, but like what you were saying there about different clothes, we are just a page in a textbook when you think about it. It's like third revolution to go back to it again, but what he said was, he was like, they're going to look at us in textbooks in 100, 200, 300 years of time as we are the last generation to use fossil fuels. Our kids are not going to drive petrol cars. Our kids are not going to use and abuse fuel like we have. They're not going to live in a world without internet. And the internet then has now become, because we are somewhat of the last generation where the internet now has only become intelligent. Do you know what I mean? It's been around since the 90s, but just like anything with cars. Email, yeah.
But we're on that verge. I mean, I can't really remember a time without internet. You know,
I can remember being taught in infant school how to use Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, MSN, man. But, oh, God, missed that shit.
What about the bigger picture of the internet, about artificial intelligence? Yeah. Not internet as in Google. I'm talking about internet as in the actual
power.
Database of the power. So there's lots of things kids
won't know. They won't know what it's like to fucking redline your car gear to gear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't know logging off and on MSN to attract someone's attention. Do you get what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying? You ever see that? Someone pops up, they pop off, they pop on again. You're like, what are they saying?
Yeah.
Messages.
Well, how about them rigged letters you could get that replace the letter, so every time you type like a B or something, it would be a different style.
Oh shit, and you had those weird those like emoticons, those vector animations you could do.
But I mean, if you look at that, how different our life has changed within 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? From the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think people understand how powerful the internet is.
Preaching. You should be a preacher.
No, but it's because people just... I think people see the internet just as in, like what you guys just brought up there, MSN.
Yeah.
Like, you guys just literally see it as Google or social media, but you don't realise that internet powers everything in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it will power everything in day-to-day life. There's never been a system that has been so interwebbed and interlinked around the world that there is a database which connected to 7 billion minds. That is impossible. Exactly. You think 50 years ago... The biggest book you have that's connected to people is what, 20,000, 100,000? You know, that's only if you knew them in a library like or something like that.
The possibility of being able to get a message out globally instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chen, I think if you were born another life, you'd be a preacher.
Well, I'm looking to be a lecturer when I'm older.
Yeah.
I'll come back in and lecture.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be... I can't be that.
I mean, see, I'm for... good and for social change, but then I'm also, like I always say, I'm modern but yet old fashioned.
Yeah, you've got the kind of old fashioned rationale.
Somewhat old fashioned views from the way I've been brought up, but then coming to AUB and that, it's opened a different sort of version in the chapter. It's about merging them together now.
That's quite nice though. That's nice that you have that view. I think sometimes it's tricky at AUB as well, there's such a bubble of people. It's like Jack was saying earlier, like you say something, you're like, I'm so hopeful, but how many people have that view? You know, that bubble of AUB is so progressive. There's like, how many other people...
Are we hopeful because of AUB or are we hopeful because of government? We are lucky to be in the UK, because even when you look at America, I would hate to live in America. How corrupt their sort of...
Their education system, the violence over there, the discrimination, like...
The divide, yeah. When you just look at pharmaceuticals, how much... It's just business. Everything in America is business. If it can make money, then
if it makes
it's
money,
power.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
it
makes money, it makes sense. At least in England, we've got some sort of...
Boundary. This is a bit too far.
Even in a lot of countries. There's a lot of countries better than England, the way they do things. When people say, oh, let's do things like Sweden and Norway, but you can't... Our population is too much. When people say, oh, can't charge university fees. But then you've got to understand, what's the tax rate in Norway? It's something like 30%. It's 10% more. Yeah, they earn a lot more.
It's
but then... They get taxed a lot more. That's why they get...